What's going on, everybody? Welcome into episode 41 of the Two Stripes Podcast, the podcast that covers everything going on around the college football universe. My name is Colton Denning, and I am your host. Make sure to find the show at soundcloud.com/twostripespod, or you can subscribe to the show, which I highly recommend, by going onto Apple Podcasts and searching the Two Stripes Podcast. So yesterday, if you followed the show, I interviewed Matthias Schwarzkopf of Wide Right Natty Light, SB Nation's Iowa State site, to talk a little bit about the Cyclones, their season, and the upcoming game with TCU. And today, we're going to do the flip side of that and talk about the TCU Horned Frogs, some of what they've been doing this season, and then get some perspective from their side on this ranked matchup with Iowa State. So to do that, I am joined by friend of the show and managing editor of FrogsOwar.com, Jamie Plunkett. Jamie, what's really good?
Everything's really good in TCU land right now, Colton.
Yeah, absolutely. So last time we talked was back in March. So 7 months ago, you came on the show and we talked a little bit about the direction of the TCU program and some of your thoughts on what TCU might do this year. And you said that you thought the program was in a pretty positive place, and 7 games into the season, TCU 7-0.
Yeah. You know, it turns out that it's nice to be right every once in a while, in a landscape where people who make predictions are often wrong, especially when it comes to college football. It was nice to hit that one on the head. But you know, the biggest thing I think that we can say so far about this TCU season is just that they have looked incredible on both sides of the ball pretty consistently. And that's a testament to the seniority, I think, on this team, especially when you talk about the seniors in the secondary. Gary Patterson's been incredibly complimentary of them. You know, you've got senior leadership in Kenny Hill on the offensive side of the ball, who's really been the driving force behind the offense so far this season. And so, you've got a TCU team that's 7-0. They went on the road and beat Oklahoma State. They beat West Virginia at home. And now they've got a really interesting matchup coming up this Saturday.
When we spoke, you mentioned the offense being really inconsistent in their game plan from week to week last year. And is that something that has changed? Because from the outside looking in, it seems like they're a lot more steady offensively this season.
Yeah, I think one of the things that Sonny Cumbie has done a really good job of doing is making sure that TCU doesn't abandon their game plan simply because it doesn't work immediately. If you look back to last season, you know, Kyle Hicks was used very sporadically, and that was a problem for TCU's offense last year. They didn't run the ball consistently, and so they became pretty one-dimensional, and a lot of pressure got put on Kenny Hill's shoulders. This season, the opposite is happening. You know, you've got Darius Anderson, who's already close to 100 rushes on the year, Kyle Hicks, who, you know, has been out with an injury, but he's got 60 carries, and you've got Shewa Olunolua, who has 6 rushing touchdowns on 37 carries. And so you've got this trio of running backs who have been just consistently pounding the rock, and that's taken a lot of pressure off of Kenny Hill. I think what Sonny Cumbie has done now that he's the play caller this year is he's really kind of customized this offense to make it more, just make it better for Kenny Hill and play to his strengths a little bit more. And on the flip side of that, Kenny Hill has also just been, you know, a tremendous quarterback this year. He's completing 70% of his passes. He's only thrown 3 interceptions to 15 touchdowns, and he's making really good decisions with the football, and he's throwing it with confidence. So all of those problems that we experienced as TCU fans in 2016 to this point have not been present in 2017, and that's really good to see.
What do you think's been the major catalyst for Kenny Hill's improved play? Because if you follow college football on any level, you're probably familiar with Kenny Hill, and it feels like whenever anybody talks about him, there's always that kind of underlying joke of like, oh, I remember that guy. He was good for A&M for 5 games and then totally just went to hell. Whatever happened to that guy? Oh, he's at TCU now. And like, I've made jokes about him here on the show, especially at the start of the season. But like you said, he's been really good. He hasn't thrown many interceptions, only 3, like you mentioned, and he's cut down his sack rate pretty significantly as well.
Yeah, he definitely has. And I think there are 2 ways of looking at the improvement from him this season. The first one that a lot of people go to is the fact that the system is a little bit different. So, you know, Sonny Cumbie is running the ball a lot more, and he's not asking Kenny Hill to throw the ball downfield very often. He's making those quick and intermediate passes. And so we're really kind of playing to Hill's strength so far this season. They're moving him around in the pocket a lot. The offensive line has played really well. And so he's been set up to succeed based on the system so far this year. That's one perspective that people are taking, and I agree with that. Another perspective that people are taking, and I agree with this one too, I think it's more of a both and, is that Kenny Hill is just a better quarterback. He spent a long time in the offseason with Dave Winfield, the quarterback's coach out in California, and he did a lot of work on his own. He worked incredibly hard in the offseason with some of his receivers, and we're seeing those relationships pay off, and he's a better leader. And so his decision-making is better, his mechanics are better, his mentality is better, and his leadership is better. And you have to give the kid credit for working his tail off all offseason and in the fall to get to the point where he is right now, because you can change the system all you want, but if the quarterback isn't doing the things that he needs to do, it's still not going to be a good offensive system. And so you see the system change, and you see the effort that Kenny Hill has put in, and you really, you know, we're seeing the fruits of that labor right now with TCU being 7-0.
Speaking of improvements, 2015 and 2016, TCU's defense, they were pretty dreadful, especially by Gary Patterson's standards there, and now this season, they're 11th in defensive S&P plus 7 games through the season. They're playing like what you would expect a TCU defense to play like. How have they been able to improve so dramatically?
I think it goes back to senior leadership. You know, they've got a bunch of old guys on this secondary. And what Patterson said, I guess it was after the Oklahoma State game, maybe right before the Oklahoma State game. When he's got senior leadership in his back six in that secondary, what he's able to do is really move them around like chess pieces, and it frees up that front defensive line and those linebackers to blitz and to get creative. And you know, the 4-2-5 is a phenomenal defense anyways because it's so flexible and so customizable. But the way that Gary Patterson does it, you have three kind of separate entities on the field on defense. You've got the defensive line and the linebackers as one kind of unit, and there's a play call specifically for them. And then there's a secondary play call that's split between the weak safety and the boundary corner, and then the strong safety, the free safety, and the other cornerback. And those guys kind of operate on their own little zones in the back of the defense, regardless of whether it's man or zone. And so the complexity of Gary Patterson's defense takes a while to learn. And now that you've got senior leadership on this defense, you're starting to see them understand it a lot more. That's one thing in the secondary. On the other side of that, too, is the fact that the defensive line has undergone a massive transformation from 2016 to now because of the size of the defensive tackles. You've got guys like Ross Blacklock, who's 6'4", 330 pounds. You've got true freshman Corey Bethley, who's breaking 300 pounds. You've got Chris Bradley and Joe Broadnax and Court and just all of these other guys in the interior of the defensive line who are commanding double teams and freeing up guys like Ben Banigou to have just a monster season. And so the experience that this defense has under its belt coming into 2017 has really helped them so far this year. And, you know, never let yourself forget that Gary Patterson is a defensive genius and he's not going to stay down for very long.
Let's get into this week's game against Iowa State. Did you think before the season at all that heading into week 9, TCU would be playing not only for first place in the Big 12, but the winner of their game between them and Iowa State would be the leader in the Big 12? It's crazy to think about.
Yeah, it's a little ridiculous. You know, I do like Matt Campbell, and I think they've found something in that senior quarterback in Kyle Kemp. But, I would have been blown away if people had said that Iowa State was tied for second in the Big 12 with a win in Norman and a win in Lubbock. And with their only two losses coming at home to Iowa and to Texas, that's just, I would have been blown away by that. But they've been playing really well. And this is absolutely a game that TCU needs to prepare for because Iowa State has proven this year that they are ready to roll with the big boys. And the last thing you want to do is go into Ames not prepared to play and have Iowa State kind of ruin your season.
I was actually going to ask you about that. Is there any trepidation in going to Ames? Because when I was talking to Matias yesterday, we kind of got into a conversation about Iowa State having that reputation, not only this season, but dating back to the Oklahoma State game in 2011. Like, when you're a top team, no matter, you know, there's been top teams that have gone into Ames and rolled, but if you're a top 10 team, you always think like, oh gosh, this is a place where top teams go to die, even if it may not totally be true.
Yeah, you know, it's definitely a terrifying game, I think, for TCU fans, just because, you know, you've got Oklahoma, you've got Texas the following week, and then you go to Norman, and then you go to Lubbock. And so if you looked at the schedule at the beginning of the year, you see Iowa State and Kansas in the middle there as this kind of lull, this opportunity to maybe get back on track if things haven't gone well. But now, I mean, you're the top dog. You've got the target on your back. Iowa State knows that this is a big game for them. They're ranked now. It's homecoming for Iowa State. That's going to be wild in Ames. And so TCU's really got to come ready to play. I think they will. I don't think it's in this team's DNA to overlook any football team. But, you know, Iowa State definitely has the talent on both sides of the ball to make this a game and to pull off the upset if they you know, things break their way.
What do you think the key matchup in this game is?
So I was talking about this on our podcast last night with Scott Bowes, who's one of our contributors, and he pointed out something that's pretty intriguing to me. TCU's run defense is the third most efficient, or sorry, run offense is the third most efficient in the country as far as, run defense is third most efficient in the country as far as yards gained per carry, as far as total yards per game, all that kind of stuff. Iowa State, with their offensive line, is one of the most impressive rushing offenses as far as explosiveness and as far as lack of stuffs go. And so what we're going to see here is an Iowa State running game that is efficient beyond anything else against a TCU rush defense that has really, for the most part, shut running backs down all season long. And so if you let Iowa State kind of get their momentum going and let that running game go and let them be a two-dimensional offense, they're going to score the ball. But if you shut them down and you force Kyle Kemp to throw the ball a little bit more into this experienced secondary, then I think you're going to start to see a TCU defense that really gets to assert itself. And so for me, the key matchup is TCU's running defense against the offensive line and running backs for Iowa State. If TCU can make Iowa State one-dimensional, take away the strength of their offense, you know, I think things are going to break in TCU's favor.
Yeah, that makes sense. Looking at the advanced stats right now, they're first in defensive rushing S&P Plus, like you said, third in rushing success rate, and then number one in the country in defensive opportunity rate on the ground. And if listeners aren't familiar with opportunity rate, that means percentage of carries that have gone for 5 yards. So TCU on only 22% of opponents' carries are letting opponents go for 5 or more yards, and that may seem like a huge number, but in college football, when you have so many big plays, I mean, that is a basically minuscule number. The national average is 39%, so like you're saying, if TCU is able to kind of shut down and suffocate that run game, it's hard to see how Iowa State's going to be able to move the ball outside of just trying to huck the ball up and get big plays with Alan Lazard or, you know, some of the other weapons that they have receiving wise.
Yeah, and that's not to say that Iowa State's passing offense isn't great, because with guys like Lazard, you know, 6'4", great hands, he can jump through the stadium, you know, like he's a freak athlete, and he's someone that TCU has had to deal with for the last, you know, 100 years or so. I don't know however long he's been at Iowa State. And, you know, you've got another big receiver whose name is escaping me right now. He's like 6'5", 6'6". And so, you know, there's some big bodies on the outside for Iowa State's offense that TCU's smaller secondary is going to have to contend with. But if you make any offense one-dimensional, and TCU has proven this throughout the season, they made Oklahoma State one-dimensional, they made West Virginia one-dimensional, they made Kansas State in zero-dimensional, basically. You know, if you make an offense one-dimensional and force them to play into their weakness, you're going to have things break your way. And TCU's defense has proven that they can do that, and so they're going to try and do that again against Iowa State.
What do you think the biggest key to TCU's offense having a successful day is? Because yesterday we talked about on the Iowa State podcast, this is a pretty good Cyclone defense. This isn't what, you know, most of us are used to seeing from Iowa State.
Yeah, it's not. And that's definitely been something that's impressive under Matt Campbell, is the defensive improvement as well. You know, I think the big thing for TCU is ever since they lost their center, Patrick Morris, the run game hasn't been quite as effective. And so for TCU to keep the pressure off of Kenny Hill and to allow him just to make the plays that he needs to make and be the accurate and consistent quarterback that he is, you know, you've got to establish the running game. And so I'll be really intrigued to see how TCU's offensive line responds to Iowa State's defensive line, because I think it's one of the better D lines that they've faced so far this season. And again, that's a little crazy to say, but when you're missing your starting center, which means that they had to move their guard, Austin Schlottman, back to center, you know, there's a little bit of adversity happening along that offensive line. And so if TCU's offensive line can't keep Iowa State's defensive line out of the backfield. And, you know, it's just what I was talking about with TCU's defense. If Iowa State can make TCU one-dimensional and force Kenny Hill into some long-throwing situations, he's been really good in those situations for most of the season, but, you know, you don't ever want him to be in that situation far too long. You know, then we might see some of the things start to break Iowa State's way instead of TCU's. And so I think the run game for both teams is going to be really important in this game, especially when you said, you know, it's going to be in the 30s. There's snow flurries that are possible, and, it, you know, you're going to have some bad weather the night before that might mess with the field. You know, just the running game is going to be important for both these teams.
And then finally, what is your prediction for Saturday's game?
I think it's low scoring, and I think TCU does end up with the win, but it's a lot closer than maybe folks think. I think TCU is like favored by 7 right now in Vegas, which that line sounds about right to me. I think TCU pulls out the win, low scoring, somewhere around like 24-17, 27-17, something like that.
Well, the game should be a hell of a lot of fun. You mentioned TCU's schedule coming up after this: Texas, at Oklahoma, at Texas Tech. The Big 12 is about to be crazy for the next month. Bedlam is coming up, I think, in a couple of weeks, and you got a lot of big-time games. So definitely, if you're a listener, if you're not a TCU fan and you're just interested in some craziness, keep an eye on the Big 12. And if you want to do that, and TCU, be sure to go to frogsoward.com and also give them a follow on Twitter at Frogs O War. I was looking at Frog Preacher. That's your Twitter
handle. That's my Twitter handle, yeah.
Make sure to follow them on Twitter at Frogs O War. Follow Jamie on Twitter. He is at Frog Preacher. You can find all of his stuff there. And also make sure to listen to the site podcast by searching the Frogs O War podcast. You can find it on SoundCloud. You can find it on Apple Podcasts. Where else can we find you guys on the internet, Jamie? You guys are everywhere.
Yeah, we're everywhere, man. Facebook and Twitter are two big followings for us. Obviously, frogswar.com. And yeah, our podcast is on iTunes. It's on Podbean. You can find it pretty much wherever you listen to podcasts there. It's the Frogs War podcast. We publish every Thursday morning for your daily commute or for your weekly commute, and just talking about TCU football everywhere you can. So we enjoy it, and we're looking forward to interacting with folks.
Make sure to check them out. Also, be sure, if you like this episode, to go to soundcloud.com/twostripespodcast. You can find this episode, all the previous episodes, and all the future episodes there, and subscribe by going on to Apple Podcasts, searching the Two Stripes Podcast. Please leave a review, leave me some feedback, and also send me a tweet on Twitter at Dubsco. That's going to wrap up our show today. I want to thank Jamie Plunkett for joining the show and breaking down the other side of Iowa State TCU. Be sure to go back into the archives and check out my interview with Matias Schwarzkopf of Wide Right Natty Light if you want the Iowa State perspective. And watch the game, 3:30 ABC, Iowa State and TCU. Until next time, though, for Jamie Plunkett, I'm Colton Denning, and this is the Two Stripes Podcast.